That's a good song. I don't think I've ever heard that before. That's a very good one. Thank you, Kit and Katie Marie. I'm glad to be with you this morning, my friends, wherever you are and whenever you listen to this broadcast. We continue to bring you services live stream and distant until the path changes for all of us. I'd like to recap what I spoke about last week about claiming our birthright to the good that God has already given to us. So I'd like to read actually from an earlier reading this month in the Science of Mind magazine. And this is from Your Invisible Power by Ernest Holmes, I believe. To think is to create. You have already been thinking and creating. Now you wish to create good instead of evil, abundance rather than limitation. You have this possibility within you, for the law within you is set in motion by the mind within you. The mind within you is God, having complete authority over the law, but you must reverse your use of this law. You must accept your freedom, announce your liberty, and proclaim your divine birthright. Those are some powerful words right there. Accept, announce, and proclaim. Whatever you believe to be true about God, declare to be the truth about yourself. Know that the power within you, which is God, is the law of good, establishing right action in your life. In this manner, you will gain dominion and exercise authority. To think is to create. This is really the key that opens the doorway to wisdom and power. That doorway is already within you. Somewhere within you, the mind of God reveals this truth, that you were born free, that the will of God for you is one of goodness, truth, and beauty, that all the power there is for you, and all the will there is wills life. You are the image and likeness of this life. You are the personification of it. You are the personality of God. The kingdom of heaven is already within you, and the law of that kingdom is harmony, peace, and joy. So that establishes, again, that we are designed to be heirs to the kingdom of God. That everything that we ever need or want is ours in possibility coming into manifestation. And so today, my friends, I want to talk about what we do with all of that. It's one thing to know this, and it takes a while for us to begin to accept the truth that God is all there is and that everything that is coming to us and through us is from God. We decide how we're going to use that energy. And once we do that, then it's time for us to be good stewards of the gifts that we've been given. It is right and perfect. This is the other part of the equation for us to then live our lives with that truth, as it said, acknowledging it, accepting it, proclaiming it, so that we are not only enriched in our own lives, but we're a blessing to people around us. We begin to let them see and know what a life lived in spirit looks like, what good things come pouring forth. However, I'm just going to make a little casual turn here in the service because I just wanted you to know that, did you hear that? That there might be angels among us. And they're there to whisper in our ear, seriously, to say, pay attention to this blessing. Are you giving thanks for this blessing? Are you giving thanks for the smallest thing to the grandest thing? Are you sharing what you have with others? Are you managing what's been given to you with responsibility and discipline as Finn spoke about this morning? Are you using those gifts that you've been given for the greater good of the world? And that's the question that we have today, because stewardship really is about taking care of responsibly what's been given to us. We've been living in a time that's easy for us to become contracted, to close our hearts in a little bit tighter, sometimes not having as much contact with other people. It leaves us without that opportunity to see reflections of ourselves and to reflect others in our eyes and in our hearts. And so it's easy for us to become many things that are not generous living, to become isolated, to become depressed, to become lonely, to gather things around ourselves rather than continuing to share our abundance. And so good stewardship means continuing on the path of good health, a good life, a generous life, a life that is lived not only for oneself, but also for others, because we are all one in spirit. So I went to, don't judge me, went to Wikipedia to get the theological definition of stewardship. Oh gosh, this printed out so big, I don't even need my glasses. Stewardship is a theological belief that humans are responsible for the world and should take care and look after it. Believers in stewardship are usually people who believe in one God who created the universe and all that is within it, also believing that they must take care of creation and look after it. Creation includes animals and the environment. Many religions and denominations have various degrees of support for environmental stewardship, which we have here at Unity of Wimberley. It can have political implications, such as in Christian democracy. Many moderate and progressive Roman Catholics, Orthodox Christians, and evangelical Protestants see some form of environmentalism as a consequence of stewardship. In Jewish, Christian, and Muslim traditions, stewardship refers to the way time, talents, material possessions, or wealth are used or given for the service of God. So I want to just bring out those things again: time, talents, material possessions, or wealth. Some pagan or secular views include a Gaia philosophy, which accepts the earth as a holy being or goddess. The Jewish holiday of Tu Bishvat, or the New Year of the Trees, is also known as Jewish Arbor Day. Some people want to expand it to a more global environmental focus. A biblical worldview of stewardship can be consciously defined as utilizing and managing all resources God provides for the glory of God and the betterment of God's creation. The central essence of biblical worldview stewardship is managing everything that God brings into the believer's life in a manner that honors God and impacts eternity. Eternity. So we're talking about not only what we're doing with our lives right now, but what we leave as a legacy to the world. Whether that's the way we teach our children, whether it's a financial legacy that continues to benefit others along the way, whether it's giving of yourself with the talents that have been given to you in and by spirit. And many people think, well, I don't have that kind of gift. I can't go out. I don't want to go out and be a missionary. That's what I thought I had to do when I was a young Baptist child, that I was supposed to go be a missionary somewhere. And, you know, in when you're little like that, being a missionary meant going to Africa or China. But what we discover is that our missionary work is right where we stand. It's how we act with others. It's how we view others. It's how we perceive others. And I know I've used this example before, but it always works. If you believe everybody out there driving on the roads is a jerk, what you will experience are jerk drivers. If you believe that people are inherently good, then you will be able to look for and recognize the good in them more easily. And so we're living in a time where we can heal the world. Not just for now, not just for 2020 or 2021 or the years following, but for an eternity. Now, that can sound like an onerous responsibility, but the truth is that we live our stewardship every day, one day at a time. Where can we do good today? Where can we give of ourselves today? Where can we give to ourselves today? Because unless our stewardship comes from a place of authentic generosity and care, then we're just throwing things around because it feels good or because it makes us look good. That's a trap. Our attitude about the way that we give, our attitude about the way we manage the gifts that God has given us, internal, external, tangible and intangible, the way that we manage that is also guided by that very spirit that lives within us. And so it must come from that deep place within us. And so there are so many stories that Jesus told about that. The story of the widow's mite. She had very little, and she gave what she could. And he compared that to someone who has a lot, and they give away a lot, but it's no sacrifice. It's not given in the spirit of lifting up the world. He said a small gift given generously and with humility is greater than a larger gift given without a conscious awareness. So when you write a check or give money to the church or to organizations that you support, I've been supporting a lot of organizations this month for breast cancer. As you give, remember that your gift is being magnified by the very spirit with which you give the gift. I know in particular what it's like to go through breast cancer. And it's not very much fun. And I share a sisterhood with all the women that have or are or will experience breast cancer. So it comes from a place in me of identifying and wanting to make the research and the resources more available to come a little bit faster so that this particular kind of cancer might have a cure in my lifetime. You can pick anything like that. Some people give generously of their time and their talents to animal shelters. Remember that as we're moving into this holiday season in particular, as we're moving into a season that's colder, there are predictions, of course, that the pandemic is going to surge again, and we're already seeing evidence of that. That means that more people are going to need resources that they might not otherwise have. So if you can support food banks, if you can support places that that support other people, then you're lifting up not just those particular individuals, but you are adding to the common consciousness of all of us that generosity. You're adding that, I want to call it that 100th monkey theory. And I won't go into that today. That's kind of a long story. You can just Google 100th monkey and you can read the story. But at some point in consciousness, we reach critical mass where many people are suddenly caught up in a surge of generosity and awareness. And that applies to so many things in our lives right now, I can't even begin to list all of them. Now, there's a story in the scripture that's a parable that Jesus tells. And what I like to do, and if you've been around my ministry and been around Unity for a while, one of the things that we do is take those stories that we might not have understood when we were younger or maybe never read at all and try to make it understandable and applicable to today. So I want to share with you the story of the master and his slaves. Let me get to this right here. So Jesus is telling the story of a man who has several slaves, and he's getting ready to go away on a trip. So this is found in Matthew 25. It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them while he was gone. And I want to point out to you that when I talk about talents, another interpretation of that word from its original language is abilities. So talents isn't necessarily money, but it's abilities. So listen to the metaphorical meaning behind this story. That's how we begin to make scriptures that occurred 2,000 years ago more relevant to the lives we're living today. It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. He knew the skills, he knew the character and the nature of these servants. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained two more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Now, this is kind of a multiple choice answer here to see who did the best. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. 2 down, 1 to go. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. Now, before I tell you what the master said, I want you just to notice the attitude of the servant. Master, I knew that you are a hard man. Judgment, maybe a little. Harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. What kind of servant would say that to his master? He was making a judgment about where the talent came from, what its source was, deciding what he was going to do with it, putting all kinds of conditions around it, and he hides the talent away. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. Can't you just, I just love the idea of thinking about Jesus telling this story and people going, have I been the wicked, lazy servant? Oh, please no. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That last part puts people off just a little bit. Because weeping and gnashing of teeth is really not something we enjoy doing, and we certainly don't want any kind of punishment coming that way to us. But Jesus spoke in hyperbole because he wanted to get people's attention. Did this story really occur? Maybe, maybe not. Probably not. Because it was an example Jesus was giving to people saying, look, you have been given bounty from your master, from Spirit. What will you do with it? Will you increase it? Will you be responsible with it? Will you make of it the very best that you can? Will you look for increase? Or are you going to make judgments and clutch something to yourself and hide it away so that nobody else can get it and not do anything to magnify the gift? So part of this lesson about being a good steward, it can be about money, of course. Any of you who've ever served on a board or as a financial officer, you know that there is a fiduciary responsibility to handle your money well. But this is also about what have you been given that is your particular gift? How are you going to make the world better? It's the story about not hiding your light underneath a bushel or a basket or hiding away and saying, no, no, I couldn't do that. I'm not smart enough, good enough. I don't know where to do it. I have way more excuses than I have time to go out and practice this gift and give it to others. And so part of our work as people of spirit is to take what's been given to us naturally, uniquely, divinely placed in us that we manifest like no one else on earth can do. We're responsible for making sure that we do that thing. And so it might be gardening and growing vegetables and flowers and bringing sustenance and beauty to the world. It might be teaching young people, which is the same as growing plants, making sure that that soil is fertile and watered and nurtured so that children grow. Whether you're a teacher or a parent teacher, and right now we have a lot of both. And so how will you take care of the children? How will you serve the world in a way that is greater than yourself? And so that's why 12-step programs have one step in there that says to carry the word on to another, to help somebody else who has struggled the way you struggled. That's an important part of the 12 steps. There's only 12 steps. And one of them is serve other people. Make yourself available to uplift others. Right now, we have an opportunity to pay closer attention to the things that have gone long unhealed in our society. Where can we contribute? Where can we shift our way of thinking? Where can we embrace more people exactly the way they are and not judge them, decide we know their journey, therefore they are not worthy of our love and attention? How dare we do that when we have been given so much? So this whole idea of being the good steward is the second step after recognizing that you are an heir, a beneficiary of everything good. The other part of that, and we'll be talking about this more next month, November, the month of Thanksgiving, we'll talk about the important role of gratitude. Because being grateful is the starting place. Whether it's a little or a lot, be grateful for everything that comes your way. A kind word, unexpected money, a gift of a bag of tomatoes from somebody. That's not a good one because the tomatoes are done for the year, I think. Zucchini. You know, people have abundance of zucchinis. Think of the life that you have as way too much zucchini that you've got to give it away. I have never said that before in church, ever, in all these years of preaching. But you know, if you've grown zucchini, it will overrun your kitchen. How much abundance is that? We're forced to give it away. And that's the way we should look at the life of abundance that we've been given. Don't live your life contracted and closed up. Don't live your life in fear that something's going to go away. One of the questions that I found in my reading, because there is so much good reading on this particular topic. One of the things that I read said, do I have enough? Is it good enough? And if you're experiencing some lack in your life, whether it's love or money or a job or whatever, are you being grateful for what you got today? Have you got air to breathe, water to drink, food to put in your mouth for today, like the manna we talked about last week? Have you got enough and are you giving thanks for it? That is the key. Because we think in the machinations of our minds, which are not reliable machines all the time. We think we have to figure out how it's all going to come to us. We have to be responsible. We have to be creative. But we mostly have to be open to receiving. Wide open. Because then it becomes a circular transaction with the universe. Remember that phrase, be in a circular transaction with the universe. Giving out, watching it come back to you. Giving out, watching it come back to you, no matter what it is. Your personal talent, your gifts of money, your gifts of goods that you've grown. I've been in a big closet clean out. I'm giving away stuff. It feels so good to give away stuff. Because it served its time with me. Off it goes to benefit another. We can do this, my friends. We have to do this. We're living in a time right now that's very angry and polarized and not very pretty. So we have to keep looking for the beauty, don't we? We have to. Who else is going to do that? Who else is going to do that? We're about to have some weather coming in tomorrow that's going to be the first kind of like real cold spell that we've had this season. Now, for those of you, I know we've got our friends who live in New York who watch this broadcast and in other places where weather is way different than it is here in Central Texas. So, I mean, I am truly stoked about the fact that it's going to be down in the 40s tomorrow night. I sure am. And I know that some of you have already had some snow, and you're saying, well, that's cute. Enjoy your 40 degrees. I'm going to go shovel my driveway. But I'm happy about it. And if rain comes with it, all the more abundant. Give thanks for those things. Because the more we give thanks, the more that we're going to see to give thanks for. Okay, I'm going to wrap up the talk right now, because I could go on about this for a while. It's important. It's important that we keep looking for, proclaiming, giving thanks, and sharing the good gifts, the bounty that the Alpha and the Omega provide. It's not that hard, my friends. It's not that hard. It's a little shift in your perception. It's a little bit of that humility, that letting go, that expansion that acknowledges God for everything and using it for good in the world. Last week's talk was met with such good responses to the prayers from Marianne Williamson that I'd like to start our meditation today as a prayer for America. And this is a prayer that talks about how we can make the world better. It's a prayer about the generosity of our hearts. It's a prayer about opening our consciousness to things that we might have been blind to. So if you will, just while you're listening to these words, do whatever you have to do to be able to focus entirely upon them. Let the words sink into your heart and open things up and bloom within you. Dear God, we join in prayer to celebrate this nation and surrender its destiny to you. We give thanks in our hearts for the founding of this country. We give thanks for and bless the souls of those who came before us to found this nation, to nurture and to save it. We ask that God's Spirit now fill our hearts with righteousness. May we play our parts in the healing and furtherance of our country. May we be cleansed of all destructive thoughts. May judgment of others, bigotry, racism, and intolerance be washed clean from our hearts. I'm going to say that sentence one more time. May judgment of others, bigotry, racism, and intolerance be washed clean from our hearts. May our minds be filled with the thoughts of God. God's unconditional love, and God's acceptance of all people. May this nation be forgiven in its transgressions against the African American, the Native American, the nation of Vietnam, the nations in other places in which we have waged war, our men and women who should not have suffered or died there, and any and all others. Please bless their souls. May we learn from our mistakes that the people who have died from them shall not have died in vain. May our lives be turned into instruments of resurrection, that the sins of our fathers may be reversed through us. May the beauty and the greatness of this land burst forth once more in the hearts of its people. May the dreams of our forefathers be realized in us, that we might live in honesty and integrity and excellence with our neighbors. May this country once again become a light unto the nations of hope and goodness and peace and freedom. May violence and darkness be cast out of our midst. May hatred no longer find fertile ground in which to grow here. May all of us feel God's grace upon us. Reignite, dear God, the spirit of truth in our hearts. May our nation be given a new light, the sacred fire that once shone so bright from shore to shore. May we be repaired. May we be forgiven. May our children be blessed. May we be renewed. Dear God, please bless America. Amen. I hope these words sank into your heart. I hope that you will notice where the words found acceptance or rejection in you, and examine them both to find out which way your heart wants to go. It knows better than your mind does. Breathe, beloved, breathe. Be open to the possibility that new life might be breathed into you today. Accept the possibility that something might be ignited in you today, something about which you could not have dreamed. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is dispute, let us bring peace. Where there is despair, let us bring hope. Where there is hurting, let us bring healing. And beloved, I open my eyes to connect with you. To know that in this vision of good stewardship, in this vision of making the world a better place, we draw strength and community from each other so that we might do that which is ours to do, that we might help another, that we might honor ourselves, that we might thank God more often. So know that even if you're sitting alone or with your beloved or with the sounds of life going on around you, you are still joined with others who believe and hope the same thing as you. And collectively, we are strong. Be at peace. Give thanks. And know that you're doing just fine. And so it is. Amen.